Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course, and we can't wait to see you there. Hey, Todd, we're back for another one here. Scrum is hard and disruptive. I'm Ryan, that's Todd. Taking a look at a white paper Ken put out back in 2006, titled Scrum is Hard and Disruptive. And Todd, we're on number 2, aren't we?
We are. And as in was the case with number 1, this one's loaded with a lot to talk about.
We're going to kind of break it into 2 pieces here. The first piece, Scrum is optimized for high yield product management and product development. What do you see there, Todd?
Do you know what I did is I Googled high yield because I'm the Google machiner. And just because I wanted to understand exactly, I mean, I think I have an idea, but high yield is something you don't run into a lot when you hear high yield. Right. When used as an adjective, producing a large amount, giving a high return. And the example from the Oxford Dictionary is the practice ensures that the land can continue to produce high yield crops. That means to me things like return on investment, a high return, right?
You know, something that we talk about in our classes a lot is that Scrum is not a project management framework. It is a framework used to be opportunistic in the market. And I'm kind of hearing an undertone of that when we talk about high yield product management and product development efforts, right? We're trying to be opportunistic. We're trying to build up, get a great ROI, deliver value, get to market as soon as responsibly possible, beat our competitors to the punch, see an opportunity and deliver on it. And I think that's an interesting, you know, sentence to start in this number 2 is that it's optimized, right? Mm-hmm. Not only is it after a high yield, but it's been almost perfected and fine-tuned to get that great ROI, to get that value, to solve a customer's problem, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's optimized for it. It's not guaranteed to, because, you know, we still run into these teams that are leveraging Scrum, but they're not releasing anything. So to me, high yield product management and product development means that we have released something with a yield to it, a high yield to it. And so I just want to make sure we're clear here that Scrum teams can fall into the same waterfall patterns that we've seen in the past, where you're just building and building and building without releasing anything and validating it. So I thought that would be an interesting thing to pull out here, because it's optimized for how you're, it is not a guarantee of it. And you have to take measures and steps to get that high yield.
Absolutely. The second part to this, this second statement that Ken made in his paper, Scrum is particularly appropriate for high risk, complex, large projects, and can be used when other parts of the endeavor are hardware or even waterfall development. What's hitting you there?
High risk, complex, large, right? Yep. high risk, complex, large. And, you know, something that we talk a lot about is complexity and risk reduction. And so complexity and risk reduction, right? In Scrum, we have this thing, a sprint, and you build a potentially usable increment in 30 days or less. That's the expectation of Scrum. And so to reduce risk and complexity, that 30 days or less in a sprint is important. Large projects to me means that there's infinite complexity, risks, dependencies, and all the things, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. And I think it's particularly interesting that, you know, Ken pointed out very clearly that even if you're in an environment where hardware is involved, or even waterfall development, Scrum is still appropriate. You know, just because one part of your project is hardware, one part of your company or organization is using a more upfront design and big bang release approach, Scrum still fits. Scrum can still work, and it can still be effective at getting that high yield as part of your product management and product development effort. So with the high risk, complex, large projects, I think you covered it really well, Todd. It's just the big scary things. We can mine for the value. We can burn down the risk. We can, and it's all through your original point, release. Release, get feedback, you know, adapt, move forward. You know, inspection and adaptation continuously, short feedback loops, and that tends to bring the risk and complexity into something manageable.
Yeah. And, you know, my mind's like kind of stuck on efforts where I've been involved that we have had a like dependency on a hardware team or dependencies on a waterfall project, and just the transparency that we were able to create. It did bump up against some of those a little bit and was a bit of a problem point around, or while we were having essentially wait times for other teams to produce things that were using other things. The transparency that we created in things like a sprint review and our ability to adapt our process to really kind of fit that niche, what we were, that particular circumstance that we were in was really cool, right? No one Scrum implementation is the same.
Yeah. I think that's great. Another good point written by Ken many, many years ago, still appropriate today. In fact, probably helps bring some clarity to some of the things that we still see getting wrong time and time again.
Yeah.
We hope you're enjoying this series. Let us know in the comments. And what do you think about this, this second idea around being optimized, Scrum being optimized for high yield, product management, and product development? Agree, disagree, let us know in the comments. Like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'll be back with numbers 3 through 15 on this list, so stay tuned. More episodes are dropping. For Todd, I'm Ryan. Scrum on, and we'll see you in the next one. Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!